ಮಾಡಿ. ಯಮುನಾವನಚಾರಿ ಕೀರಾವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮತ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕಿ ಹರಿನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನ್ಕಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಕಿಶೋರ್ ಕಿಶೋರಿಕಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌನಿತಾಯಕಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ ಬಲದೇವ ಸುಭದ್ರ ಮಹಾರಾಣಿಕಿ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕಿ ನಿತಾಯ ಗೌರ್ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದೇ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವೀಂ ಸರಸ್ವತೀಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಾಯಾಮುದೀರಯೇತ್. ನಷ್ಟಪ್ರಾಯೇಷು ಅಭದ್ರೇಷು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವಯಾ ಭಗವತೀರುತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೇ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತಿ ನೈಷ್ಟಿಕೀ. ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ದೇವಕೀ ನಂದನಾಯ ಚ ನಂದಗೋಪಕುಮಾರಾಯ ಗೋವಿಂದಾಯ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ 8 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 8. ಕಂಟೋ 8 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 7 ವರ್ಸ್ 11 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಎಂಟೈಟಲ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಶಿವ ಸೇವ್ಸ್ ದಿ ಯೂನಿವರ್ಸ್. ತಥಾ ಅಸುರಾನ್ ಅವಿಶತ್ ಅಸುರೇಣ ರೂಪೇಣ ತೇಷಾಂ ಬಲವೀರ್ಯಂ ಈರ್ಯಾನ್ ಉದ್ದೀಪಯನ್ ದೇವಗಣಾನ್ ಚ ವಿಷ್ಣು ದೈವೇನ नागेन्द्रम् अबोधरूपः तथा सुराना विशदासुरेन रूपेण तेषां बलवीर्यमीरन् उद्दीपयन् देवगणांश्च विष्णो देवेन नागेन्द्रमबोधरूपः तथा सुराणा विशदासुरेण रूपेण तेषां बलवीर्यमीरन् उद्दीपयन् देवगणांश्च विष्णुर् देवेन नागेन्द्रमबोधरूपः तथा सुराणा विशदासुरेण रूपेण तेषां बलवीर्यमीरन् उद्दीपयन् देवगणांश्च विष्णोर् देवेन नागेन्द्रमबोधरूपः तथा सुराणा विशदासुरेण रूपेण तेषां बलवीर्यमीरियन् उद्दीपयन् देवगणांश्च विष्णो देवेन नागेन्द्रमबोधरूपः तथा सुराणा विशदासुरेण रूपेण तेषां बलवीर्यमीरियन् उद्दीपयन् देवगणांश्च विष्णो देवेन नागेन्द्रमबोधरूपः तथा सुराणा विशदासुरेण रूपेण तेषां बलवीर्यमीरियन् उद्दीपयन् देवगणांश्च विष्णु देवेन नागेन्द्रमबोधरूपः तथा देर आफ्टर असुरेण अंटु द डीमंस आविशत एंटर्ड असुरेण बाय द क्वालिटी ऑफ पैशन रूपेण इन सच अ फॉर्म तेषां ऑफ देम Balavirium, strength and energy, Iriyan, increasing, Uddipayan, encouraging, Devaganan, the demigods, Cha, also, Vishnu, Lord Vishnu, Daivena, by the feature of goddess, goodness, sorry, Naga Indram, unto the king of the serpents, Vasuki, Abodha Rupaha, by the quality of ignorance. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. Thereafter, Lord Vishnu entered the demons as the quality of passion, the demigods as the quality of goodness, and Vasuki as the quality of ignorance, to encourage them and increase their various types of strength and energy. Purport. Everyone in this material world is under the different modes of material nature. There were three different parties in the churning of Mandara mountain: the demigods, who were in the mode of goodness; the demons, who were in the mode of passion; and the snake Vasuki, who was in the mode of ignorance. Since they were all becoming tired, Vasuki was so much so that he was almost going to die. Lord Vishnu, to encourage them to continue the work of churning the ocean, entered into them according to their respective modes of nature: goodness, passion, and ignorance. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitamstam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. Namaum Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Krupa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Mukham Koroti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Krupatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishvaram. Hare Krishna. With the blessings from all my singers, I would like to speak something for glorification of Lord and purification of my heart. So, we are in this beautiful chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein Lord is all out to give the glories and credit to His devotees. We'll see how. So, as we know the background, initially, before that, actually Lord's quality is that He always protects His devotees. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna that, "O Arjuna, you please go and declare that my devotees won't perish." And why did he ask Arjuna to do? Because Krishna is Purna Purushottam Bhagavan. Sometimes he may not keep his words. That is his, you know, transcendental nature. If he wants to save his devotees, he is least bother about his, you know, keeping his own words. That we see in the pastime of how when Bhishma was about to, you know, destroy Arjuna, Krishna himself, he lifted the chariot wheel and, you know, was about to attack, you know, Bhishma. So, therefore, he asked Arjuna to do it. Because when a devotee tells something, Krishna will make sure that it is done. It is completely fulfilled. So, Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita that, Name bhaktya pranashyati. O Arjuna, declare boldly that my devotees never perish. Now, in this pastime, we see that the demigods, they are devotees of the Lord. Now, you know, whether it's mixed or pure, keep it aside. Still, they are devotees of the Lord. And Krishna's promise still holds true. So, when Indra became puffed up, Krishna wanted to protect him. Therefore, he arranged Durvasa Muni to curse, and the battle took place, and then whole army of demons, they attacked Indra, and then his pride was destroyed, as well as his opulence. And then after that, Krishna has solved his purpose, that okay, you know, his pride is, he has saved Indra from false pride. But at the same time, now he has to also protect his material opulence. So, it's like a father may chastise his son, but it's not that he'll not do something good after the son reforms. Some religions, they have a saying that, okay, you have only one human form of life, and if you don't practice the way they want, then you are cast eternally into hell. So, if somebody does by mistake, he, you know, doesn't act the way they, you know, they have prescribed, then he is doomed. But Krishna conscious philosophy and the actual nature of Supreme Lord is not like that. He is always helping all his sons. So, somebody, those who want to become devotee, he will help them, and if somebody doesn't want, he will request Maya to do the same. So then Lord protected Indra from his false pride, but then now since he was reformed, Lord wanted to give him back the kingdom. So he gave an idea. What? Go and churn the ocean of milk. And therefore, you know, we see, like, you know, throughout the, like, you know, last couple of weeks, we are seeing that how demigods and demons, they make a, you know, truce and they start churning the ocean. But then again, you know, we are so insignificant and depends on, you know, mercy of Lord, that for any act to perform, we need Lord's grace. And in this pastime, it's vividly described. Because even after telling them what to do, still they are not able to do that. So Lord has to personally go, lift the mountain. Then the mountain was sinking, so Lord has to go, you know, come as a tortoise. Then it was tilting, so Lord had to sit as, you know, Ananta again. So, like that, Lord took so many different incarnations just to help and, you know, get this chant. And in today's verse, we are seeing that when the demigods, demons and Vasuki, when they are tired, Lord entered into them as per their modes, and he again energized them to do this, you know, particular act. So here we see that actually Lord has done from start to end everything, but whenever there is a mention about churning of ocean, even if we ask devotees or non-devotees, what we say? Who did churning of ocean? Demigods and demons. Did we say that Lord did it? No. Why? Because Lord wants to give credit to his devotees. That is his amazing quality. Here, in this, we see even the chapter name is, you know, Lord Shiva saves the universe. And later, when we'll go through subsequent verses, we know that when the first thing comes out, halahal, Lord again wanted to glorify Lord Shiva, his, you know, topmost devotee. So again, therefore, you know, he empowers Lord Shiva to do that. So here, the glory of beauty of Lord is that, first, he always protects. And the scriptures are full of pastimes wherein this bhaktavatsal mood of Lord, that is again and again depicted, that Lord always protects. And then, when Lord wants to get something done, he empowers his devotees, and does he take the credit? No. He gives all credit to his devotees. So there is a very vital lesson to learn in our life in this pastime. First of all is to get the faith that if we follow the instructions of Lord and his devotees, protection is guaranteed. Guaranteed means guaranteed. Now in which form it will come, we don't know. Sometimes it may be little inconceivable how the protection is going to come. But protection is guaranteed. Mahabharata, it's full of incidences wherein the, you know, the pure devotee of the Lord, when the Pandavas, whenever they were in difficulties, Krishna sent, you know, Krishna helped them. There were even stories wherein, like there was a particular king, I'm not getting the exact, not remembering the name, but he was performing some particular yajna to get a demon to kill the Pandavas, and Pandavas were completely unaware. But before the demon could come and actually kill, Krishna destroyed him immediately, like in between only. They were even not knowing that there was a danger. So same way, many times we don't know, but actually Krishna is protecting us from so many things, so many, you know, calamities. And then in case, in the lives of pure devotees, it is so vivid. Prabhupada, when he came to West, he was on a cargo ship where there was no 911 facility to dial when you get a heart attack. And then he got that twice. Still Krishna protected him. Right? So, Krishna's protection is guaranteed. Whenever in our life there are trying situations, the first reaction is, why me? Why me? I'm chanting all my 16 rounds, I'm following 4 regulative principles. You know, I'm doing whatever service my, you know, authorities are saying. I'm becoming, you know, humble das. But still, you know, I have this disease, that disease, this problem, that problem. So, when the mind is too much overwhelmed with the external pressures, and when the intelligence is not nourished, then naturally the doubt may come. Where is the protection? But Krishna's protection comes in different ways. For Chitraketu Maharaj, it came as a curse from Mother Parvati, because he wanted to expedite his, you know, arrival back to spiritual world, and he wanted to glorify him eternally. In case of Abhimanyu, apparently there was no protection, but actually Krishna protected him spiritually. In case of Prahlad Maharaj, the protection came both ways. It came, Lord protected as Narsingadev his body, as well as spiritually, of course, you know, he was, you know, well protected. So Lord protections comes in different way. We just need to realize it. There was one devotee made a statement, it was interesting. He said, there cannot be any situation which is against our Krishna consciousness. There cannot be any situation which can be against our Krishna consciousness. So what he wanted to mean is that the circumstances around us, sometimes we may feel that, you know, we are put in a situation wherein whatever we want to do, we may not be able to do it properly. Like suppose, you know, we want to every day come for, you know, temple services, temple darshan, mangalarti, But your job is, you know, some three cities away and there is no association. Yes, you know, the situation may not be what we want at that particular time. But if we just keep containing desire, Krishna will surely arrange eventually. He may be increasing our intensity to practice, intensity to long for association. We may take association very cheaply if we are too close, so maybe Krishna wanted for us a customized made plan. And actually Krishna does have customized plan for all of us. Only thing is that we need to appreciate that. So first thing is, we have to be always convinced that Krishna protects, guaranteed. And then this past time also, it was not that Krishna just told, okay, you know, go and chair the ocean. He was at every step to help them. So same way, when we are trying to practice Krishna consciousness in whatever way of life, Krishna is there in every step to protect us. And sometimes it comes in a form of a spiritual master's instruction, sometimes it comes as a form of our seniors, you know, chastisement. Sometimes it comes in the form of our equal's suggestion, but Krishna always protects. The next important lesson to learn is that about, you know, giving credits. So in this past time, the Lord is, you know, doing this, you know, Herculean task of, you know, moving mountains and, you know, helping them to adjust everything. At the same time, when he saw that they were not, you know, they were lacking that enthusiasm, he entered in, you know, in those particular, like devotees, demigods, demons and snake, in those, in the modes which they are prominent, and then he empowered them. So this also proves that Lord is supreme, that he can even use the modes of nature in his service to the fullest. Like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that, you know, about his vibhutis, he speaks about that, okay, you know, see, I am the taste of water, or then, like, you know, he says, okay, you know, I am the, even sex life, you know, kamosmi bharatar sharba, you know, that I am the sex life generated, done for progenating, you know, Krishna conscious children. So, we see that the different activities may be in different modes, but if we attach Krishna, then that becomes Krishna conscious and it becomes a service. So in this verse, Krishna is empowering them as per their modes, ultimately to do his will. And the glory is that he doesn't take the credit. So whenever we discuss the pastime of churning ocean, who churned? Demigods and demons. Who was the rope? Vasuki. What was the churning rod? Mandara mountain. Whom the glory is going? Everyone else apart from Krishna. So there are two aspects to this. First is, this is Lord's magnanimous nature to always give glory to the devotees. Whenever we write a, like, you know, some author writes a book, generally they have this page of dedication, right? You know, I dedicated it to, you know, so and so, you know, family, friends and everyone. Nobody dedicates the book to the pen or to the computer using which they are writing the book. Have you seen any dedication page wherein it says this book is dedicated to the pen with the help of which, or to the paper on which, or to the computer using which I have written this book? Have you ever come across this? No. Lord wants to, like, the author wants to dedicate it to someone, but not the instrument. This is the general tendency. But Krishna, he is dedicating all his amazing pastime to his devotees. The credit for churning the ocean, Krishna is giving to whom? To Vasuki, to Mandara mountain, to demigods, demons, and then, like, you know, when the halal comes, you know, Lord Shiva himself says that, you know, O Parvati, this Lord Vishnu is capable of saving himself. He just want to, you know, glorify his, you know, devotees. That's why he is doing. And then Lord Shiva is also again glorified. So Krishna wants to give the credit to his devotees. And in our day-to-day life, at least I can speak for sure for myself, if I try to do something, I want credit. And sometimes I want even credit for something which somebody else has done. And because of that tendency, what happens is that all problem starts. One devotee has very nicely said, he mentioned that we can do amazing things if it doesn't matter who takes the credit. We can do amazing things if it doesn't matter who takes the credit. So, this credit-taking mentality, that is actually a disease in conditioned life which we have. And this subtly comes. This becomes one of the impediment in Krishna consciousness, because when we take credit, we are considering that I am the doer. When somebody takes credit, if somebody does something, right? So when we take the credit, the mentality of I am the doer, that creeps in. So therefore we have to be careful about this. Then what about glorifying devotees who do wonderful feats for Krishna's service? We have to, because Krishna has empowered them to do particular service. So all such points we have to see from two perspectives. In our life, how to apply, and then in others' life, how to apply. In our life, we understand, actually Krishna is doer, he is empowering us, he is putting us, the right words in the mouth, the right intentions, and then, giving right facilities. So actually Krishna is doer, I am just an instrument, and as Krishna is so merciful that even from the hands of dumb person like me, Krishna can do something meaningful. So this is from our point. And from others' point, what we have to think? He is such a glorious devotee, he is such a surrendered soul, that Krishna has chosen him to do this particular service. He doesn't have any pride, he is very humble, he has such an intense desire to serve Lord that Krishna empowered him to do this service. So we don't have to, but in conditioned nature, what happens? It happens exactly opposite. What? When it comes to us, we think, actually I am so sincere, I am so glorious, Krishna empowered me to do this, wonderful task. And with somebody else is doing wonderful task, actually Krishna is only doing it's Krishna's wonder, he can even do from, such an, not so called great devotee. So what happens is that, we know the philosophy, we know the application, only thing what to apply where, we generally try to interchange. So what thing we should think of ourselves, we try to think for others, and what we should think of others, we try to think for ourselves. At least I am speaking for myself for sure. So this, if we take this teachings from here, Lord's behavior, wherein Lord is doing so much, but he is giving all credit to his devotees. So if we do that, we will be very peaceful in our life. Because when we start practicing devotional service, and when we spend couple of years, what generally happens is that this Maya Devi particularly troubles us with this puja la pratishtha, the subtle sense gratificatory desires, wherein we try to take the credit, and by that we try to enjoy subtly. So but if we see the Lord's behavior, then we get clues that no, actually it's Lord who is doing it, but I'm just instrument, and therefore I should not be proud, I should just pass the glories. And all the acharyas, they exemplify this principle so much. Srila Prabhupada, he did so much. We can speak volumes and volumes and volumes, like today evening Sunday feast also. So, tomorrow, journey of One man journey to million heart. He literally did so much. But whenever somebody, some reporter, anybody asked Swamiji, how could he do it? He says, I am simply a postman. I am simply servant of my Guru Maharaj. And one was Puja Day of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada said that, thank you so much for helping me, for fulfilling my desire of my spiritual master. On another occasion, he mentioned that, you know, my spiritual master has sent all of you to, you know, help me. So, though Prabhupada did so much, he burned his midnight oil. You know, on Janmashtami day, you know, we are up till 2, you know, 1, 2 o'clock. And then, you know, very few fortunate souls are there next day for Mangalarti, you know. And then continuing services, because we are just, you know, physically tired. And we are in our youths, you know, prime youths, 30s, 40s. Prabhupada was 60 plus. He used to get up every day at 1, write his books till 4. You know, Prabhupada schedule, right? And then get ready, chant his rounds, go for a morning walk, give Bhagavatam class. And it was not that whole day he was resting. Whole day he was doing preaching, or, you know, training devotees, you know, solving conflicts. So Prabhupada actually did so much, but he always gave all the credit to his devotees, his disciples. So Lord and his devotees, they are very eager to give the credits. You know, it's very famously said that, you know, we see in case of, like, you know, Mahabharata war also, Krishna said, Arjuna, that I have already killed all of these, you know, soldiers. You have to just, you know, nimitta matram bhava savya sachin, you know, just become a nimitta, an instrument, a cause. You know, Krishna had already done it. You know. So, same way, it is said that this 10,000 years in Kali Yuga, after Lord Chaitanya's movement, it is a golden age. You know, Prithvi te acheta nagaradi gram sarvatra prachara hoibe muranam. Lord has already predicted, you know, the match is already fixed. You know, it is going to happen. Lord is ready to give credit. If we take part, we get credit. And then if we don't, somebody else will do. So of course we don't take part to get the credit, but it's Lord's mercy that even if we just, you know, try to lift one table from here to there, you know, Lord, like, you know, likes to give his credit. So if we try to imbibe this quality of passing on, you know, like whenever something comes, you know, that okay, we say, you know, at the end of our premaduni, we say, you know, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. What we are doing, if somebody says, you know, okay, you have done this nicely, we say, you know, it's because of my spiritual master, because of Prabhupada. And is Prabhupada keeping all the glory? No, Prabhupada is saying it's because of my spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And it's way all the way up going on, and everybody is ultimately giving glories to, you know, Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna himself. So, we can try to imbibe this quality, and when we do this, then the burden of even, you know, that having done something, that's, you know, gone from our head. We feel very relaxed, actually. But ultimately, you know, Krishna has done it. No, what's so big deal about it? So, this beautiful lessons we can learn from this. The other point I would like to share was a little bit about the history about Kumbh Mela. Because, have you heard about Kumbh Mela? In India, there are four places. It is like Ujjain, then Haridwar, Prayag and Nashik. So these four places, once in a 12 year, like Mahakumbha, and after each 6 years, the Ardhakumbha, they call it. So this big gathering of thousands and thousands and thousands of people, they come there to take bath in the confluence of the Ganges, you know, the rivers present. Why? Because it is said that during this Samudra Manthan Leela, so in Padma Purana the description comes, and even in Mahabharata the story comes, that when the Mohini Murti, Lord comes as a Mohini Murti and he distributes the nectar, then that time The Rahu, he changes the form and he tries to, you know, get the nectar. But Lord Vishnu identifies and, you know, he cuts his head. And that time the battle starts. So the Kumbha, Kumbha means pot, it still had some nectar remaining. And then the son of Indra, Jayanta, he takes that pot and he starts, you know, fleeing because there was a lot of chaos. And to help them, the four of the, you know, demigods, like, you know, the sun, moon, Jupiter, and, you know, I think one more was there. They also accompany, you know, Jayanta. And then the demons, they follow them also. And they were chasing this, you know, Jayanta, and then they, at one point they were very close, so they stopped and they fought back. They fought for 12 days actually. And then again they took a, you know, pot, again start running, again demon came. And it happened four times. They fought four places, and these are the four places, you know, which happen to be in India, you know, Ujjain, Haridwar, Prayag and Nashik. And it is said that during this process, some nectar fell in there. And the 12 days of demigods is equal to actually 12 years, you know, as per our human calendar. Therefore, you know, the Kumbh Mela, it happens 12, Mahakumbha, you know, appears after each 12 years. But what is significant for us, Srila Prabhupada, when he was here, he personally attended, you know, in 77 and 72, I think, you know, the Ardha Kumbha and Mahakumbha, personally himself. Prabhupada, he writes very beautifully. He says that we are not going there for nectar. We are going there to preach this Krishna consciousness movement. There are so many pious people, thousands and thousands of them coming at one place. So let us spread this, you know, message of, you know, Lord Chaitanya. So that was Prabhupada's mood actually. And actually Prabhupada also took bath, you know, there are some photos also. His Holiness Lokanath Swami Maharaj, he has written a book on this, you know, Kumbh Mela and then festivals of India, I think. In that he mentions in details. So this pastime is very famous, churning of ocean. Many places in, there was a report on the Thailand airport, they had a big wall, you know, depicting this churning of ocean pastime. So this is very famously discussed pastime, but only because of, you know, Srila Prabhupada and his glorious purports, we can get the inner nectar. Because the nectar which came out of this Kumbha, it can just open the door for liberation, but what after going there? So Prabhupada tells in this purport, he is exhibiting the finer qualities which Lord is, you know, exhibiting. And then what happens when we understand that? Our appreciation for personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, simply increases. Such an amazing Lord who is doing everything but not taking a single line of credit, wants to just give all, everything to his devotees. So that's the glorious Lord whom we are trying to worship. And, you know, so when we discuss and, you know, get to know about all these qualities, the natural consequence would be we'd like him, we'll appreciate his, you know, all the deals. So in technical sense, we should fall in love with him, you know, by hearing all this, right? So we should thank Srila Prabhupada for unpacking the amazing nature of Lord and depicting it so beautifully that it's very relevant. It's very relevant to appreciate. It's very relevant to in our life, the teachings, and it ultimately, you know, takes us, you know, closer to, you know, our original, you know, destination, the lotus feet of Lord. So we discuss today in summary. We started with that how Lord's protection is there always. Only thing, he may protect in different forms. And then we saw a few pastimes. Then we discuss how in this whole pastime, though Lord is doing so many things himself, is not taking credit. And then we saw how we can take this in our life, that if we just, you know, give credit where it deserves, and we'll be very happy and peaceful. So, and then we also saw that, you know, both aspect, like, you know, how to see in our own life when we are doing something good, and we, you know, always see that, you know, Lord is merciful, He is, you know, empowering. And then when we see others, we can glorify them, we can appreciate their efforts to please Krishna. And then we saw a little bit history about Kumbh Mela. Actually, there is one more pastime, it comes in Mahabharata, wherein Garuda, when he was, like it's mentioned, actually the story is in detail, his mother was, you know, was bound by, you know, some agreement, so he wanted to free her, so, you know, he gets this, you know, nectar pot, and Mahabharata it mentions that, you know, the nectar fills it, you know, these four places. But in any case, like, you know, we saw that, you know, Prabhupada wanted to go to Kumbh Mela to preach, because he, you know, that's the, you know, will of Lord. So, you know, we can all pray that may we live to this principle of wherein we cooperate and we, you know, come together in service of Srila Prabhupada and Kishore Kishori. And if we do that without, you know, without thinking of who gets credit, we can see, you know, wonders will be awaiting us. There will be wondrous things happening. So, with this, I'd like to stop. Any comments or questions?
You were highlighting that there's a kind of mental burden that happens as a result of wishing to take credit for some services performed. And is it too loud?
Kind of what happened? No, the only first word, okay. I missed.
I said you were highlighting that there's a mental burden that happens as a result of wishing to take credit for some services performed, which in fact, through the explanation you were giving, is actually Lord Krishna who's empowering. Particularly this verse was talking about he's entering into the particular modes of nature of the different personalities involved. You gave a reason for that mental burden perhaps arising in the first place. You mentioned it briefly. You stated that it was a lack of intellectual nourishment. So perhaps the question is, could you elaborate on what makes up that intellectual nourishment that would permit circumventing this difficulty of getting burdened mentally in this way?
If I understand correctly, how to get intellectual nourishment so that we can put away this mental burden of, you know, getting the credit. In Krishna consciousness, when we come, the first thing we learn is that, you know, we are not this body, we are spirit soul. And then we learn that about three modes of material nature, and then how Lord is doing everything. So, like, Lord is, as you know, the original, like, you know, supreme doer. So now what happens, the mental burden which I was referring, is when we take the credit, the next consequent expectation is that, you know, devotee should appreciate it, devotee should glorify it. For example, like, you know, yesterday there was, you know, beautiful festival, and there were like flowers, and example, there were no volunteers, suppose, you know, everyone went up, and you single-handedly, you know, clean everything, pick and span. And then, if we take that credit, the natural expectation would be, when the devotees come down after prasad, they should ask, hey, who cleaned it, you know? No, it is so nice, right? But what happens, it generally doesn't happen, you know? In the sense that, you know, I just give that as an example, in some cases, you know, we may get encouragement by notice, but in some cases we may not. But the purpose of doing service is to get that, wow, who did it, then that is a mental burden. Because when nobody will give that, then we'll stop doing it. But when the intellectual nourishment, meaning when we actually understand that I am doing this for actually purifying my heart, pleasing, you know, Prabhupada, my Guru Maharaj, and you know, just, you know, trying to serve in a mood of humble servant of servant, then that intellectual understanding will make us, you know, keep doing services, even if somebody glorifies us, even if somebody encourages us, or even if somebody does not. So the intellectual nourishment is to understand that, you know, as a eternal position, as a servant of Lord Krishna, actually I am just doing what I am supposed to do, and that also I am not doing properly, you know. So why I should expect credit for that, why I should expect glorification for that? So, and how that comes is that when we keep hearing, when we observe the life of other, you know, senior devotees, you know, pure devotees like Srila Prabhupada, then we see in their life that they do so much, but then when the point comes of, you know, taking credit, they always push somebody else. And this phenomenon is appreciated even in material circle. You see that those, this is a little, like, you know, contextual example, like, you know, from the society, that in India there was a big scientist, and he was the head of the ISRO, like here we have NASA. In India, the space launch program is, you know, they call it, you know, ISRO. So they launched some satellite, and it blasted. it blasted. It didn't go properly. So when the press reporter came, that, okay, you spent so many, you know, millions of, you know, rupees, you know, it just exploded. Nothing. Everything went in vain. This particular, you know, leader, he went to the press, and, like, you know, he, like, the actual engineers whoever the fault was, he did not ask them. He just said that, okay, you be behind, I'll go and I'll handle, you know. And then he went and he expressed, okay, it is my fault as a leader, you know, we had, you know, these deficiencies, next time, you know, we'll correct. After a few years, this person, under his leadership, again they launched another satellite. That time it went boom, you know, everything successful. Again, press reporter came. Now this person, this time, he asked all his colleagues, you go and you report to the press now. You know, you take all the glory. And he just sat back. So now, when the blame came, this leader, though it was not his mistake, in one sense, he went and he took the blame, but when the credit came, he just, you know, shared it with everyone. And then now, the space stations are named after him, because of that quality. So even material people, they appreciate this tendency. And actually by doing this, his, you know, appreciation and, you know, rapport and, you know, glory is in that sense increased, right? So, actually, again, we should not, the mind may think, okay, I will not take, you know, glory, later somebody will glorify me for not taking the glory. That is also mind step. But the basic point is that to understand that it's, you know, collective effort, I am just being a part, and then appreciate, like, you know, just appreciating instead of just feeling that, you know, I did it. So intellectually, when we understand that actually, you know, Jivara Swarupo Hai Krishna Nityadas, I am the eternal servant of Lord, then as a servant I am supposed to do this anyway. Rather, I am supposed to do it nicely. So why to bother? So when we do that, then the burden of, you know, expecting glory, expecting, you know, appreciation from others, that goes away. And we remain very peaceful. So does that answer the question? Yeah, thank you so much. Of course, you know all. You just, you know, trying to get, like, you know, something for me to speak. Okay, thank you so much. Any other comment, questions? Vantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande.
Yeah, take it. I think, no.